going to need your attention this morning. In the book of Revelation chapter 3. Now, I'll ask you, to keep your Bibles open there this morning, because I'm going to have you turn to a couple more verses. What I'd like to do is take a few minutes this morning and point out to you some things that I believe that we need to see and hear and know. And I'm going to illustrate it this morning. Like I said, I don't usually do this, but I am today, so you'll get the point of the message. I hope the Lord will. Let's back up to chapter 1. I'm sorry. Let's back up and get chapter 1 quickly. And I'm going to put some numbers up here this morning. And what I want you to do is watch these numbers, and then I want you to look at chapter 1 there. As I do this, Revelation chapter 1, and look at verse number 19. I believe it's 19. And verse 19 says, and the things that thou hast seen, write. Is it verse 19? And it says, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Or something like that. And that shows you that the book of Revelation is divided into three parts. The thing John had seen, the things he is seeing, and the things which shall be hereafter. It's past, present, and future. And you got to remember that John, in the book of Revelation, is writing from a standpoint of being caught up to heaven, looking down on the earth during the Great Tribulation. So the things he has seen are back here. The things he is seeing is down going on the earth below him, and the things that will come is the things after that. Now, I have people ask all the time, they think the book of Revelation is a deep, dark, mysterious book that nobody can understand, but it'll make real good sense to you if you can just get them division. Now, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the way you divide the book of Revelation is it's in three parts. The thing which he has seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So the book of Revelation is in three parts. One part is chapters 1, 2, and 3. Everything you see in chapters 1, 2, and 3 is what we call the church age. And when you hear a preacher on the radio, a preacher on TV, talk about the church age doctrine, that's what he's talking about. Things that are going on in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And 3. Now if you'll look at chapter 3, you'll see the church age, the age that you and I are living in right now. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 14. If you want to see the age that you're living in right now and I'm living in, you'll look at chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible said here, and look at verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, hold your finger there just a second. He's writing to the angel of the church of Laodicea. The word Laodicea means, of all things, rights of the people. That's what that word means. Laos, Laodicea, the rights of the people. There are seven churches written to in the book of Revelation. Those seven churches correspond to seven ages in church history. You and I are living in the seventh one, as I'll show you in just a moment, Laodicea. Listen, does this describe our generation or not? Look at there, verse number 15. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. That describes our generation of Christianity. We're not really sinning, but we're not really fired up for God either. We're just kind of, I go to church on Sunday and I treat my neighbor right and I pay my bills and God is happy with that. God says, that's neither cold, that's neither hot. He said, because of that, I'll spew you out of my mouth like lukewarm water. And then he said this. This is a description of the church in the late 1990s. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. There's never been a time, ladies and gentlemen, when the, quote, church had as much property, had as much money in the bank, had nicer facilities, not carpet, padded pews, paid parking lots, chandeliers, and money just everywhere than the day we're living in. And because of that, a lot of people equate that with spirituality. And it's not. It's not. Things don't make you spiritual. Look what God says about this church. And knowest not, the middle of verse 17, that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. That's the way God describes it. And then he said in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we use that for one-on-one salvation, and you can use it that way. But actually, in its context, that verse is saying Jesus Christ is outside the church in the last days, knocking, trying to get in. That's a sad picture. Yet we're living in that day. We're living in the day when the Lord's out knocking at a lot of churches wanting to get in. And if He got in, He would just tear the program all to pieces, and that would mess up everything. And that's why we've always wanted the Lord here. Listen, we have the Lord. We want the Lord here in our church. If the Lord wasn't here, there's no use in us being here. If His Spirit is not dwelling in this church and working in this church, we're fakes. We're out of business. We might as well put for sale on the front door if you've got a church without the Lord working in it. My main concern is that God will work in our church. That's my main concern. I'd rather have that than anything else. I like air conditioning, but I'll tell you what, I want the Lord to work more than I want air conditioning. I don't want the Lord, when we get to heaven, the Lord say, I stand out there in the door knocking and you folks wouldn't let me in. You're welcome here today, Lord. You're our honored guest. You're in charge. And somebody asked me one time, I said, why don't y'all print up a program? And I said, well, we wouldn't go by it, so I don't reckon there's no use in having one. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying I want to be open and have the Lord in this service today so that we can have He can have right away. You don't want to box God up and say He has to work in this framework or, you know, He don't work like that. God wants freedom to do whatever He wants to do. Now, somebody told me this morning, they said, you know, this is a big church, but it's not like most big churches. They said, it's like a little church in a big church. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Numbers should have nothing to do with it. We're here to worship God and honor Him. This is not a religious parade here today. This is His saints come to worship Him and honor Him. I don't want the Lord to say that. Now, chapter 1, 2, and 3 tells us about the church age. Chapter 4, verse 1 pictures the rapture of the church. Everything you see from chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 19, verse 11 takes place in what we call the tribulation period. We've raptured out there in chapter 4 and verse 1. Then you begin to go. Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. He begins to tell you what will happen during the great tribulation. Now, look at chapter 8 and verse 8. Chapter 8 and verse 8. I know it's unusual for me to do this, but I'm just going to take a few minutes here and give you this little Bible study this morning to show you where we are on God's calendar. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 8. And the second angel sounded. This is what stuff's going to happen during the tribulation. And as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. Now, I won't take time to read all of that this morning. That's hours and hours and hours of study. But it's going to be like this. When the rapture happens, when Jesus steps out and calls His children home, that could happen today. That could happen this morning. There's going to be a lot of confusion down here on this earth. Now, the truth is this morning, when you got saved, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, He made them this promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Bible does say that God's Spirit, that restrainer, will one day be moved off this land. Now, He's inside of me. He's inside of you if you're saved. So when God decides to pull His Spirit out, you know, and He's never going to leave us, that means we're going to leave with Him. We're going up in what the Bible calls the rapture. I've tried to imagine what it would be like if the rapture took place today. Well, you know, there's a lot of saved people in this world. I mean, it don't seem like you mean a lot, but scattered out. You get all God's people together, there's a bunch of them. And there's saved people all over this world. There will be car wrecks on our freeways. I mean, where they're going to come, and the people have just vanished. There'll be men wake up and in the morning find the wife gone. There'll be husbands wake up and run and find out the news reports. On the news, they will be saying a mass emergency has taken place. We don't claim to understand it. That's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. Now stop here just a second. Let me show you why I put these numbers up here this morning. And just a little think with me for a minute. When God works, He usually works by seven. That's His number of completion. You know what God did when He created this world? And the Bible said He worked and He created. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. And on the seventh day, somebody tell me what it said God did. Now, why did God rest the seventh day? I said that one time in a church. I said, why did God rest on the seventh day? Some little kid hollered out because he's tired. That's not why God rested. I think it's something like that. You could barely hear him in the background. That's not why the Lord rested. God doesn't get tired. God don't get tired, folks. God, as a matter of fact, it didn't take God 6 days to make the world, create all the creation as of necessity. He could have just went, thump, and created every bit of it in a split second, couldn't he? Sure he could have. Why did he do that? Why? Have you ever thought about that? Why did God put it in there like that? No wasted words. God's always trying to teach you something. Now the Bible says this. The Bible says that one day is as with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And he rested the seventh. The Lord didn't come in that sixth day and sit down and prop up his feet and say, I tell you what, man, all this creating has worn me out. I'm going to take tomorrow off and just not hit a lick. The Lord didn't say that. He stopped and He made Himself do nothing because He's trying to show us something. Now, He said one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. On that scale, you have the 6,000 years of human history. You got 1,000, 2,000, the time of Abraham. You have 3,000, 4,000, the time when Christ comes and dies on the cross. Now, you know how we know this system of interpretation is right? We know this system of interpretation is right because the entire Bible fits this plan. For example, the sun, the S-U-N. You know what day God made the sun? He made on the fourth day. The sun is a picture of Jesus Christ. The book of Malachi calls Jesus Christ the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. It's all through the Bible a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ shows up the fourth day, 4,000 years. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4. God made the sun on the fourth day. Every one of those days represents 1,000 years. Christ comes and dies on the cross. Notice, every 2,000 years, God does something big that changes history. 2,000 years. He's the only man that history is divided by His appearance. Into B.C. and A.D. So time starts all over again. 1,000 or 5 brings you to right here. The 5,000 years, which we know in history as 1,000 A.D. B.C. means before Christ. A.D. means Anno Domini, meaning the year of our Lord, the year that He came. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Jesus comes and dies on the cross. He said, I'll be back to get you. 5, 1,000 A.D. You know what they call this? They call this the Dark Ages. And all this time through here, 1,500 A.D. is right here. Martin Luther comes up. The Reformers come up. God, the church comes out from underground. God blesses it. We're all here. We're right here, right now, where my foot is. We are this close to the end of the sixth millennium. We are less than 4 years away from the end of sixth millennium. Now, if God goes by that program, and I'm not setting dates here this morning, don't go out of here and say, Danny Castle said the Lord, because I'm not saying that. I'm saying if the Lord goes by that program, He works with mankind 6 days or 6,000 years, and on the seventh day, He rests. The seventh 1,000 years is described in the book of Revelation as the millennial kingdom, or 1,000 years of rest with Jesus Christ on the throne of David, ruling like the Bible said that He would one of these days. I'm telling you, this is an exciting time to live, people. We are living right there. Listen, if you figure 2,000 years after Christ, we are at 1,996. God didn't let... Just help yourself, man. Just help yourself. We're all going to do that when we get to heaven. I mean, that rapture is so close, it could happen this morning. You can feel it. You can feel it. There's something in the air. God's doing something. God's getting His children. I wish I had time. Are y'all in a hurry? Okay, I shouldn't ask that. You wasn't wanting to eat dinner today, was you? No, I'm going to hurry. I'm trying to cram about 10 hours of Bible study into 15 minutes here. And listen, did you know there was no such thing as a computer 60 years ago? Wasn't no such thing. And preachers used to preach that the Antichrist was going to come and cause everybody to have a mark on their hand or forehead. People said, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. Well, it's not ridiculous now. God let them invent that thing just in time for it to take place. 1969, that's 30 years from 1999. That's when all the things begin to happen. They are talking about the Antichrist coming and all of that. I was sitting on an airplane the other day. I've been to Ohio all this week in revival. And I sat down, I had to sit down right between these two people. I hate to do that because when it's full, I had to sit down this guy over here and this lady over here. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to witness these people one way or another. I don't know which way I'm going to start first. So I start on him. I said, you go to church, you know? And he said, no, but he said he's a Christian. He believes in God. He said he checks out everything. I said, good. That's a good way to be. So this lady saw my Bible here, and she started coming over, leaning to me, asking me questions. And she had studied under Dr. somebody and Dr. somebody else, and she had got into some prophecy and stuff. She's from Canada. And she began to ask me, and she said this. She said, you believe Jesus is coming soon to take us out in the rapture? And I said, yes, ma'am, I sure do. And she said, oh, you know, she's one of these ladies. She had a cat in the bag in front of her feet. And so that'll, you know, that'll tell you something. Anybody that would pay, for a cat to ride an airplane, they charge you $50 for taking a little pet on an airplane. And she said, held it to me like this, and it looked through a little net, and it's going, meow. I said, you ought to throw that thing out the window, man. I didn't tell her that. It is not fit that cats should live. Just kidding. I mean, there's just something weird about cats. But anyway, so she said, oh, praise the Lord. All right. And she said this. She said, do you believe the Antichrist will rise up through the portions of Israel and all that? And she's like this, you know. And I said, no. She said, you don't? And I said, I leaned over as serious as I could. And I said, I believe he's coming in a UFO. She said, you do? I said, yeah. She said, I've never heard Dr. So-and-so say that. Some doctor Bible scholar up in Canada. I said, well, now think about it, sis. I said, you think about this. I said, all the world in the mess it's in and all that. And it was blowing her mind. I said, the Bible said this, you know, and you know, all these movies coming out saying the year we make contact. What better explanation would there be? All the psychic hotlines get together, you know, all that stuff. She said, you believe they're out there, don't you? And I said, you better believe they're out there, but they ain't coming from out there. They're coming from down there. And the Bible said a pit opens up, and they have an angel over that pit, and there's going to be things fly all over this earth during the tribulation, and we're seeing these things, or they are, I ain't, all over on the world right now. You know, so if something lands in your backyard and got lights all around it, and a funny little guy about that high, they're always about that high, gets out of it and starts walking over to you like this. You know what you better do? You better not go get the Reese's Pieces and try to be friends with them. You better get down and plead the blood of Jesus. And I told her, I said, he's going to step out and he's going to say, you think about this, emergencies, plane crashes. I know some of y'all are going to think I'm totally gone off the deep end. But just let your imagination go with me for a second. All these things going on, plane crashes, national emergency. We have declared law, martial law, and we must have all the nation under control. excuse me, we bring you this special report from Rome. We have a special report from and CNN and ABC and NBC and CBS and they're reporting, they're reporting, they're reporting. All this stuff just leading up to that rapture, man. The greatest event in history since the death of Jesus. The next clock, tick on God's clock. I'm telling you, brother, listen, you better sit with your feet untangled, pay your bills, be good to your neighbor, be prayed up, paid up, ready to go up, because just any day now that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to leave this world. The homosexuals had a march down there in Washington, D.C. and places. They come out with a sign. They said, "We're here. We're queer. You might as well just get used to it." I tell you, that's, it's mighty, mighty, mighty hard for us to get used to that. It's hard to get used to. I don't believe we're supposed to get used to it. We make us a big sign that says, "We're here, we're not queer, and if you can have this place, because we're leaving here." Did you know they're fussing about the same-sex marriages in Hawaii? And did you know if they allow homosexuals to get married in Hawaii, that every other state, when they move from there to wherever you are, got to honor that state's law? Do you know how close we are? Did you know Jesus said right before I come back, right before that end, that it'll be as it was in the days of Lot? Let me tell you, I ain't got time to get to all of it, folks. I didn't even have an outline this morning. Let me tell you what's going on just on your television set just in the last few weeks. I get these little papers here, and I'm reading to you. I didn't see these movies. This is High Society, CBS, February, just a few months ago. Ellie's substance abuse and promiscuity are the source of many jokes. Stefano's homosexuality is highlighting, and Dot tells her teenage son she's embarrassed that he's still a virgin. There is an intentional attempt by the network to shape the society's attitude to accept the homosexual lifestyle as normal and proper. You want me to tell you why? Crew, the show plays on Fox Network. The man says men are more attractive than women. That poor fella is blind as a bat. Anybody who thinks men, old bony legged, not need, stinking, egotistical, self-centered men are better looking than women, he's not only sinner, he's sick in his noggin. Women wouldn't even have us if they had a choice. Ain't that right, ladies? Ain't nobody else, so you got to take us. But I'm telling you, that guy's sick. He's sick. There's a show called Ellen that comes on NBC, in which recently a 13-year-old has a baby. Woman says she's pregnant by extraterrestrial. You're hearing that more and more and more and more and more. Get it ready. Pregnant by an alien. Lesbians get a baby and to raise it. That's what Prince mean when he sung his song 1999. And he sung that song and he said, "I was dreaming when I wrote this, so forgive me if it goes astray. It's judgment day and people running everywhere. Oops, out of time. So tonight we're going to party like it's 1999. I'm telling you, people, we're running short of time. We're running short of time. People are demon filled. The other night, I done something that I don't normally do and I don't recommend that you do. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to. Friday night, I went to the grocery store after church to get me some ice cream. I had the pastor's wife let me use her car while I was up there, and so I had a car to drive back and forth to the motel. I went to the grocery store. Revival meeting's over, and we had a great service Friday night. I went and got me a big thing of Häagen-Dazs and a drink. That's not what I'm telling you not to do. It's other things what I'm telling you not to do. I said, I'm going to my motel room. Man, I'm going to eat this ice cream. And I did, too. I enjoyed it. But right over from the bookstore, right over from the grocery store, there was an adult video store. And I mean, you know how they look. Ooh. You can just feel demons crawling on them places. Wicked, pornograph, hardcore pornography. And I thought, I ought to go in there and witness them people. And I thought, maybe I should. And I thought, well, maybe I should. And I thought, well, maybe I should. And I thought, well, they're going to die and go to hell, and somebody needs to care about them. So I got me one of them little Tell It Like It Is book. Pulled in there. I thought, well, I'm pastor's wife's car. Well, if anybody gets in trouble, it'll be her. I got my car here. So I had the pastor probably got a call. And there was a woman running it. And I walked straight in there, and I just feel my skin start crawling, man. I walked right in there and walked right up to her, and I said, "Here, ma'am, I want to give you something to tell you about Jesus Christ that loves you." And I noticed this guy with a beard. He was just staring at me. And I said, well, see you later. And I just turned right around, walked straight back out, and that guy followed me out in the parking lot. And it was dark. And he was ugly. And I went out, and he followed me out in the parking lot, and I just thought, well, I'll just get in the car and mosey on out of here, you know, and everything. And he said, there's no soliciting here. And I said, well, I'll just give the lady a track, man. No problem. He said, well, there's no soliciting here. That Yankee accent, you know. He said, listen, I'm not even from Ohio. I'm just passing through. I'm not trying to call. He said, there's no soliciting here. I don't care where you're from. I said, okay, man. I didn't mean to dent your fender. I didn't tell him that. But he was all two pieces. Now, that guy, he knew. I believe when I walked in that place, he knew there's a different spirit around me than was in that other guy. I believe he could feel it. I could sure feel it around him. I was weird, man. He was weird. I thought, man, he might have a gun or something. I just took off out of the parking lot. I'll run over him if he tries to shoot me or something. But I'm telling you, we're in that day. We are in that day when the spirit is so opposite. The fence is harder to straddle than it ever has been before. It's either one way or the other. You got to either live for God or you'll just get swept away by the wickedness that's out there in this world. You heard this week? This week on the news, been on the news all week. 17-year-old boy, 16-year-old boy, and I think another 16-year-old or a 15-year-old took a 15-year-old girl and offered her up as a sacrifice to Satan. Is that in California? Did you hear about that? Just this week. They've been talking about it on the news all week how they're going to try these boys. They took her to an altar. They tortured, molested her, raped her. They believe that the devil wanted her as a sacrifice. Because they're blonde hair and blue eyes. That's what they want. A blonde haired, blue eyed virgin is the ultimate sacrifice to the devil. Because they believe that represents a pure strain of humanity or something. But anyway, they offered that girl as a sacrifice to the devil. And they're telling the news. It's been in USA Today. Been on the networks, I think. All this week that they did that to earn a ticket to hell. That's right. 16, 17 years old. Y'all listen to me this morning. When I was 16, 17 years old, we never heard of nothing like that. In the 70s. You never heard this till the last 15 years. Could it be? Everything's winding down. You hear them talking about building that German military base here in America now? Have you heard about that? Yeah, there's a lot of talk about it. It's trying to be hush-hush. They're not talking about it on TV. It's beginning to take place. It's according to what they're saying. It's all happening. Well, how else are we going to get the world under one government where everybody goes by the same rules? We're right in here somewhere. Just any time, the Lord's coming back. You're living in a mixed up world. You're living in a society gone mad. The book of Revelation, the third part, is 19:11. Let me show you that one and I'll be through. 19:11. Chapter 19, verse 11. The third division of the book of Revelation. The things which has been is chapter 1, 2, and 3. The things which are is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And in chapter 19, verse 11, begins the things which shall be hereafter. You can understand the book of Revelation if you'll divide it in those three divisions. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's when we come back with the Lord after the great tribulation to set up His kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. The things which were, John said, the church age that we're living in right now, the things which are, those terrible things that's going to happen during the tribulation with the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the things which shall be hereafter, is the Lord going to win this battle in the end. You'd do well to get on His side this morning. You'd do well to get on His side. There's going to be the greatest unification of military force ever. Fires are going to burn out of control as there's rioting in major cities during the Great Tribulation. Everybody's going to be waiting for a statement from the president, whoever that may be at that time. And the Antichrist will step out and take over the scene. Everyone's life will be different and affected.
when Jesus comes back. You really think? You really think the Lord just going to sit in heaven on and on and on and watch what's going on down here? Just let it go? Uh-uh. He will intervene. Some way, somehow, I believe it'll be the rapture. One thing for sure, He promised He's coming. He is coming. If you're here this morning and you're not ready to meet the Lord right now, here today, you say, I don't believe in these scare tactics. No, you just don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to tell you this thing's going to happen. I don't know why the Lord let me and you live during this moment before He comes back. But here we are. We better be waking up and getting ready. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. There's a song we sing every now and then. It says, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? There's another song you hear, it says, oh, why not tonight? To be honest with you, I haven't been living like I should. You talking about the rapture coming, it kind of scares me. I know I'm saved, but I'd hate to face the Lord with my life like it is. You feel free to come. We're going to have an invitation. If you're here this morning, you are not saved. If you've never been saved by God's grace, you say, you talk about all that stuff and the mark of the beast and the rapture and the Antichrist, it scares me. The Bible said, come, whosoever will, let Him come. The Lord can save you today, and He will if you'll let Him. Our Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, You forgive us where we failed. Help us to live in the light of Your coming. We don't know how long we've got, but we know that we're running short. Have mercy on our church. Bless our church. Help that one right now who needs to make that step. Please help them to come right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.